Okay, today's daf is daf Ches in Maseches Bava Kamma. We left off on daf Zayin Amud Beis at the two dots, in the third wide line. Two dots, the third wide line. So says the Gemara, Bai minei Rav Shmuel bar Abba me Akrunya me Rabbi Abba. Kishehin shamin, b'shalom hein shamin, o b'shalom hein shamin. When we know that we said that you have to pay back meitav, you have to pay back from the best from the best of your fields, you have to pay back idis when you're a mazik. The question is, how do we determine what's best? Do we determine based on your own properties or based on the properties of the whole world? Meaning based on the guy himself, the guy involved over here in the damage, or based on what the world considers to be meitav? So Alibud Rabbi Shmuel Lotibai left Amar b'Nizik Shemin. According to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that in general we're going to look at the Nizik anyway, we're going to evaluate based on the Nizik's properties, so that's not really a Shaila. That obviously he means you actually have to look at the Nizik's properties. We don't really care about the rest of the world. The only concern to us is the Nizik. We're only looking at the Nizik. When do we have a Shaila? The Shaila is only according to Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva, who says that we evaluate based on the Mazik, based on the properties owned by the Mazik, what's considered his Meitav. Well, my Meitav Sadeu. What's the din then? Meitav Sadeu Amar Rachmanu Lamute Denizik? Did he mean to say that Meitav Sadehu means the Meitav Sadehu of someone other than the Nizik? But it doesn't really have to be the Mazik's Meitav Sadehu. It doesn't really have to be the best fields of the Mazik. Or maybe the Meitav that we talk about is the Mute de Alma also. It's just coming into the Meitav, excluding excluding everybody. It has to be Dafka the Mazik's Meitav. It's not okay for it to be the Meitav. It doesn't mean the Meitav of the whole world. It means Dafka the Mazik's Meitav, to exclude any other kind of Meitav, whether it be the Meitav of the Nizik or whether it be the Meitav of the Mazik. So the Gemara clearly makes an assumption over here that according to Rabbi Yishmael, there's nothing to talk about. That if you're going to assume but the Nizik Sheminan, then that we evaluate based on the Nizik, it must be taken literally that we only look at the Nizik and we don't look at anything else. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, that you're going to look at the Mazik, he might not really mean Mazik. He might just mean not the Nizik. That when you figure out the Meitav, it doesn't really matter what the Nizik owns, what kinds of fields the Nizik owns. It only matters what kind of fields the Mazik owns. The question is, what's the logic for that assumption? Why do we assume that if you're going to say b'de Nizik Shaiminan, it must mean Dafka the Nizik? But if you're going to say b'de Mazik Shaiminan, there might be room to say that it's lav Dafka b'de Mazik Shaiminan, could mean b'de Olam Shaiminan, that you evaluate based on what's considered the Meitav in the world in general. Why do we have that sort of leeway? So Tosfos tries to explain this point. If you look at the bottom Tosfos, Alibud Rabbi Shmuel lo tibay lach damar b'dinizik shayminan. It's not a kasha within, it's not a shayla within Rabbi Shmuel, who says that we evaluate based on the nizik. Kivan the yalof migzer shavu the sada miubir b'steyacher dahavi dinizik. Meaning you have to go back to the original drashos. Where did Rabbi Shmuel know that b'dinizik shayminan? Where did Rabbi Akiva know that b'dimazik shayminan? So Rabbi Shmuel's source was the fact that it says sada twice in the parsha, once ubir b'steyacher, which clearly refers to the sada of the Nizik, and then later on it says, Mimetav Sadehu, that you pay from the Metav Sadehu of his field. Whose field? The same guy whose field we were talking about before, the Nizik's field. So since we learned it from Gzer Shavav, Sada Sada, it has to be that we're talking about the Sada of the Nizik Dafka. It can't be that we're talking about anything other than the Sada that actually belongs to the Nizik. Avl Rabbi Akiva, but according to Rabbi Akiva, Efshar Dahadu Kamer Dehechta Kamishalim, Lo Asa Elu Lamuti De Nizik. According to Rabbi Akiva, what's the source of the drasha? It says, "Mimetav Sadehu Yishalem." So he doesn't look at the Gzer Shavah of Sada Sada. He looks at the pasuk itself. He pays from the Metav of his fields. Whose fields? The one who's paying. Because that's the way the pasuk is written. He's paying from the Metav of his fields. Sounds like it's the fields of the guy who's paying. Now that leaves it a little more open to say that maybe it's Lav Dafka, the Mazik's own fields. It could be the fields of the Olam. But again, Tosfos just says it, but it doesn't really explain why should that be so. I mean, it sounds, if you read the pasuk, he pays from the best of his fields means the one who's paying, mamish, the mazik's fields. That's what it's talking about. Tosfos doesn't really explain very well why there should be a chiluk. He just says, yeah, if Rabbi Shmuel has a gzer shav, it has to be dafka, and Rabbi Kiva, when he learns the pasuk, it's not necessarily dafka, the mazik could be b'diolam sheminan. So in the back of the Gemara, in the bottom of the Marsha, the Maharam explains the Chilik. The Maharam explains as follows. And again, it's I don't know how perfectly it reads in, but the Maharam says, well, Rabbi Shmuel we know is Dafka because Rabbi Shmuel says the Gzer Shava, of Rabbi Akiva, but when it comes to Rabbi Akiva, Afal Gav de la El Mashma de Mashmaus to cry Yalif. Even though it sounds like from the Rabbi Akiva Zikr Drasha that he's just darshaning what the Pasuk is talking about, that the Pasuk says he pays from his Metav Sadehu, so it sounds like it means the Mazik's Metav Sadehu, that it's got to be the Idus of the Mazik. Even though he's medayik this from the Pasuk, Afiluhachi ikalamemar, the idis the alma mikrinami, the hech the kamashalimhu. That it could be that even the idis of the whole world, what the world considers an idis, would still be called the metav of the one who's paying. Why? Ta mazik hamashalim, nami b'chal ha'olamhu. Because the mazik who's paying is also part of the olam. He's also part of the rest of the world. So since he's part of the rest of the world, and the issue is whether the Torah says whether it means he personally or the whole world, but he's part of the whole world, so it might mean he as a member of the entire world, but lav dafka him personally. So it's a bit of a stretch. It sounds a little bit difficult. I mean, what do you mean? It might hit him as part of the whole world. Would you be able to say the same thing on the other side? Meaning, why couldn't you say sada teaches you that it's the field of the nizik, and the nizik is also part of the whole world. So you would pay from maybe it would be b'dolim sheminin also. Obviously, the first time the word sada appears, it's not referring to the sada of the whole world. It's referring to the nizik himself. But still, I don't understand. I'm not really sure exactly what this chiluk that Tosfos is making is. Just thought I'd put the question out there. The Gemara clearly assumes that there's a distinction, that there's no room for a kasha over here, no room for a shaila within Rabbi Shmuel. There is room for a shaila within Rabbi Kiva. Tosfos is clearly struggling with the issue. He answers it, but it's unclear exactly what the answer is. But anyway, back to the shaila. So the Gemara wants to know, when Rabbi Akiva says that you pay from the Meitav, do we evaluate based on the Mazik's own properties, or do we evaluate based on what is generally considered in the world to be Meitav? So Amar Le Rachmana Amar Meitav Sadehu, Vat Amar Shalom Ein Shaman. He says, come on, the Torah says Meitav Sadehu. The Torah says the best of his fields, and you tell me you evaluate based on the whole world? It says the best of his fields. It means his fields. It doesn't mean the whole world's fields. Eisvei, Ein Lo El Idis, Kulam Govern Ne Idis. If all the guy has is Idis, he only has superior quality fields, so then everybody, no matter what he owes money to, whether it's an ex-wife whose ksuba he owes, whether it's a balchov that he owes money to, whatever he owes money to, everyone collects from the Idis, because that's all he's got. Beninus, kulum govim beninus. If all he owes is beninus, so everyone collects from the beninus. I mean, if all he owns is beninus, everyone collects from beninus. Ziburus, kulum govim ziburus, and the same with ziburus, obviously. But here's where it gets complicated. Let's say he has all three levels. He has superior, medium, and inferior quality fields. So then, Nizakin be Idis. The Nizakin collects from the Idis. Ubalchov be Beninus. The Balchov collects from the Beninus. Uksubasisha be Ziburis. And a woman collects Uksuba from the Ziburis. Idis ubeninus. So that's everyone collecting what their halacha is supposed to be. The Balchov is supposed to collect from the Beninus. Really make her a dinner on the Raisa level. Balchov collects from the Ziburis. But Kadesh Lotinol Dalas Bifnei Lovin, they made a Takarna de Rabbanan in order to encourage people to want to lend money, that the Balchov should collect a bit of a higher quality field. Not the highest quality, but a bit of a higher quality field. So he collects from the Beninus, because we're afraid that if you only give the Balchov the Ziburis, who's going to want to lend money if the person that pays him back doesn't have cash on hand? He's always going to give him a lousy field, so it's going to discourage people from lending money. But so anyway, so that's what halach lemaisa. That's what they're supposed to collect. Balchol gets the beinus, subsisha gets the zigurus, and the nizik gets the idis. What if you don't have all three levels though? So we know if you only have one level, so you give everyone from that level. What if you have two of the three? Idis or beinus? What if you have idis and beinus, but no zigurus? So it's also fairly straightforward, exactly what you would expect. Nizakin beidis, the one who gets damaged, collects from the idis because that's really his halacha, that's what he's supposed to collect from. Balchov uksubasisha v'beninus. And the Balchov and the uksubasisha collect from the beninus. The Balchov, because he's supposed to collect from the beninus, and the uksubasisha, because there's no ziburis. So the next lowest level you go is to the beninus, and he collects from the beninus. Beninus for ziburis, what do they only have? Beninus and ziburis, there's no idis. So again, it's what you would predict. Nizak and Balchov, the Beninus. The Nizik and the Balchov collect from the Beninus. Again, the Balchov, because that's his halacha. And the Nizik, because he's supposed to collect from the Idis. Only because he don't have Idis. So instead, he'll collect from the Beninus. Meaning, we're not gonna make the guy go out and buy an Idis field in order to pay back the Nizik. So the Balchov and the Nizik both get paid from the Beninus, which is the best field he's got. Uksubasisha b'ziburus, and the Uksubasisha collects from the ziburus as you would expect. Idis b'ziburus, if he has Idis and ziburus, but no Beninus, so now here's what would you say? I mean, now it becomes a little more tricky, because the Idis, we know Balchov, the Nizik collects from the Idis. We know Uksubasisha collects from the ziburus. What about the Balchov? Do we upgrade him or do we downgrade him? So Nizakin b'Idis, so normally we would try to upgrade somebody, but Balchov, we actually downgrade. Balchov, we say, we'll collect from the Ziburis. Why would we downgrade the Balchov? Shouldn't we upgrade him? How can you stick him with the field if you have higher quality fields? How could you stick him with something that's beneath what he's actually supposed to get? So Rashi explains, based on what we said before, that the Balchov is unique in that the Mido Raisa, he doesn't collect Beninus. Mido Raisa, he collects Ziburis. So says Rashi, Mido Raisa Balchov b'Ziburis k'dil kaman, v'rabbanu hu detikul nebe Beninus. It's only takarnas d'rabbanan that the Balchov collects Beninus. Mishum ni'ilas delas lovin, because we don't want people to be discouraged from lending money. So if there's no Beninus, there's no takana. So if there's no, that's it. No Beninus, there's no takana. So it goes back to the din d'oraisa, goes back to the ziburis. That's why you can't upgrade him, you have to downgrade him. Katani miya metzio. So bottom line is, though, what do we see in this brisa? That Beninus for ziburis, if a guy has no idis, he just has Beninus and ziburis, nizakun and balchov be Beninus, uksubasisha be ziburis. So we said the nizik and the balchov collect from the Beninus, and the uksubasisha gets from the ziburis. Now, what was our issue before? We wanted to know, how do you evaluate? Do you evaluate based on, when according to Rabbi Akiva, do you evaluate based on the mazik's own fields? When you label something as an idis, do you label it as idis because it's the best the mazik's got, or do you label it as idis because in the general world market it would be considered idis? So we have a case over here where the mazik only has Beninus and ziburis. So says Gemara, v'yam b'shalovin shamin tasa b'nei shlok idis v'yitcha b'alchav etzal ziburis. Think about it for a second. If he has only Beninus for Ziburis, how is that possible? If we evaluate based on what he's got, we label something as Idis or Ziburis based on what he's got, and he's got only two fields, the better one can't be called a Beninus, it's the best he's got. So that should automatically be called an Idis. And there's a nafkamina. It's just names, right? No, but here's a nafkamina. If it's called the Idis, it's not called the Beninus, the Balchov shouldn't be able to collect from it. If all you got is two fields, so you're going to automatically label one an Idis and a Ziburis, and so what's the din when you have an Idis and a Ziburis? The Nizik collects from the Idis, the Ksubasisha collects from the Ziburis, and what do you do with the Balchov? You downgrade him to the Ziburis. But we said that if you have two fields, and one is a Beninus, one's a Ziburis, which again, it's a name, how can you call it just a Beninus? But the better field that he has, we said the Balchov can collect from the better one, because it's a Beninus. Well, if you're evaluating based on his own, based on what he's got, it shouldn't be called a Beninus. It should be called an Idis. So it sounds that this is a Raya, that Bishal Olamein Shamin, that you evaluate based on the world market in general. So says Gemara, no. Hachav Ma'eskinan, Kigon Shahaisalo Idis Umachra. Now we're talking about a case where they had Idis already, the Mazik had Idis in the past, and then he had sold the Idis. So why does that matter? In the past he had Iddus. When exactly did he have the Iddus that it plays a role over here in this halacha? So if you look at Rashi, umachra liachar halva'a, that after the loan he sold it. So what you see is that he had it at the time of the loan. So since he had it at the time of the loan, so Rashi points out, if I lend money to you, and at the time that I lend money to you, I have three fields of varying qualities, so one of the middle level field becomes meshuba to you. Once you have a shibud on that field, I then sell my best field, you still have a shibud on that what was the middle field, which is now my best field because I've sold my highest quality field. You still have the shibud on that field, even though you're a balchov, and balchov generally collects from beinus, and if there is no beinus, gets downgraded to ziburis. Still, you have the shibud was created on that field. Sounds like as long as it was sold after the halva'a, that's when the shibud is created, and that's the end of the story. The Yamshel Shlomo in Simin Yud Beis, however, says that no, that the case is that you sell it after the Zman Shayaro'i Ligvos, after the time where it was where you could have collected. It's not enough that I own the field at the time of the loan. It's only if I own the field at the time that you could have collected it from me, meaning if it was a loan for 1 week, and that's when the loan was due. So if at the time that the loan was due, that I owed you the money, I still had the field, and you just didn't bother collecting from me yet, that's when it creates a shibud on the field. And that's when it's going to make a difference. Only if I sold it after that, will you be able to collect from what is now my best field, because that's when your shibud was created. But if I sold it before that, what is now my best field is going to be relabeled as an iddus, and you're going to be downgraded to a ziburis. Well, we're assuming there's a shibud chasim. Otherwise, you can't collect from any of them if there's no shibud chasim. What? Oh no, you can cut right.
So
yeah.
Do you still evaluate from the time of the loan if there's no shibud chasim at the time of the loan?
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. But this is an interesting test case, meaning when do you assume that shibud is created? I mean, that's what seems to be the issue over here. Yamshel Shlomo, it doesn't seem like any of the Rishonim really say like him, but and the Shach points out from the Gemara and the Poskim, it sounds like there's no chiluk whether you sell it after the loan was due or not. The whole shibud is created at the time of the loan. It has nothing to do with when you sell it. But that's the issue over here. Is the shibud created at the time of the loan, or is the shibud created at the time that it's due? Yeah.
The case of Shmita, we had a case in Gittin where it talks about when you're high of the land. When the principal service is a chal, if the person owns land and the principal is not chal,
right?
So is it the time of the loan?
Right.
The time that the principal becoming due.
Right. And we had a whole bunch of different explanations over there. It was the machlokes rishonim over there. Why should it depend on? This, what was the svara over there? What was the svara? I don't remember. Okay, we have to think about it.
So when the shibud is a chal.
Right. Right, yeah. Well, unless
if the person owns karak at the time of halva, then it doesn't get wiped out.
Right. So that's what all the achronim said. It should be at the time of the halva, because that's pashtus when the shibud is chal. The fact that it comes in later, at the time that the principle is written, is an illogical time. So that's what they have to explain. That no, at the time the principle is written, smichas das or something like that. But really, the most logical thing is at the time that it's. Right, but there was that third shita. Who I don't remember who it was. Yeah, okay, all right. Anyway, so that's the discussion over here. There's a further discussion. I didn't get a chance to look around over here. What about a stam halva? La'achar lamed yom. Stam halva is lamed yom. If I lend you money and we don't set any given time, so 30 days is when it's due. So is that as strong as setting a time? Meaning is the 30 days, this idea of Stam Halva Lamed Yom, does that make it that, is that the same as if I lend you money for 3 months on that 3-month date? Or is it in some way weaker, meaning I have the zechuse gevia, I only have at 30 days. The ability to collect, I only have at 30 days on a stam alva. And when I lend you money for 3 months, I have the ability to collect at 3 months. But maybe the automatic shibud is not as strong on a stam alva as it is on the on a loan for a given amount of time. Meaning, even if you're going to say that the full shibud only kicks in when the loan is due, maybe that's only true by a loan that we set a time, so there was an agreed upon time. But when there was no agreed upon time and we're just relying on stam, so then maybe the most powerful moment is the moment of the loan. So again, there's what to argue about in Lamdas. Rav Asher Weiss has a very nice piece on stam of Lamed Yom at the beginning of Bab Basra, where he explains the different mechanics of setting his man versus the stam of Lamed versus the zman of the actual loan. Okay, we've got to get moving here. Rav Chisla also says the case must be where you had an iddis and you sold it. Hachinam is savran, it's misavran to say this. We mean the Ktani, Achriti, Benis viziburis, Nizakim Benis, Balchavuk subsisha viziburis. We have another brisa that says if you have a Benis and a Ziburis, so only the Nizak gets from the Benis. The Balchav and the subsisha have to collect from the Ziburis, which is against what we said. Kashina dadi sotastira, because we said if you have Benis viziburis, the Balchav and the Nizak get from the Benis. Now we're saying only the Nizak gets from the Benis, the Balchav gets downgraded to the Ziburis. So which is it? Elav shmamina, kanshai slod. If you had Yiddis before at the time of the loan, and then you sold the Yiddis, so the Balchov already has a Shibud on the Beinus, so he's going to be able to collect from the Beinus. If you didn't have Yiddis, though, at the time of the loan, and you always had only these two fields, the Beinus Viziburis, then the Balchov is not going to be able to collect from the Beinus, because that Beinus is labeled an Yiddis, really. It's called an Yiddis because it's the best you've got, and that's how we label things. So that's the answer to the Stira between these two Brises. And that's a raya to the idea that the only time the Balchov is going to be able to collect from the Beinus when all you got is Beinus is Burris is if you used to have an Iddis and you sold the Iddis. But the Gemara is going to say, no, there are other ways to answer up that stira. There are three other possibilities how to answer up that stira. Viva Yisema, Idi V'Idi, Shaloi, Shalo Iddis Umarcha. No, both of them could be talking about where you did not have an Iddis that you sold. V'lo Kasha. And the Machlokas might just be one is where your Beinus equals the Yiddus of the world, and one is where your Beinus does not equal the Yiddus of the world. When your Beinus equals the Yiddus of the world, so the Balchov can't collect from your Beinus, because then it's a real Yiddus. He's got to go down to your Ziburis. But when your Beinus does not equal the Yiddus of the world, your Beinus is like a Beinus of the world, so then the Balchov will collect from your Beinus. Meaning, according to this answer, we're assuming that everyone agrees Bishalolam hein shaman. That you don't evaluate based on his own based on the Mazik's properties. You evaluate based on the world's properties. Vibai same another possibility. The both prices are talking about where the Mazik's Beinus equals the Beinus of the rest of the world. Or it could just be that that's the Iker Machlokas. Do we evaluate based on his own property, in which case his Beinus is his best, and therefore it's called an Iddis, and therefore the Balchov can't collect from it? Or do we look at Bishalolam? Do we look at the rest of the world? And his Beinus is on par with the Beinus of the rest of the world, and therefore it's properly labeled the Beinus, and the Balchov collects from it. That's the Machlokas. Ravina says, no, fourth possibility, Bidu Ula Pligi. They're really arguing about Ula. Damr Ula, Dvar Torah, Balchov, Biziburish, Shinamar, Bechutz, Tamod, Vish, Shartanoshabo, Yotzi, Alechas, Avot, Achutza. That's what the Pasuk says, Ma Darko, Shalom, Lahotzi, Lechutz. What does a person normally bring outside? Meaning, if a person has to bring something out to pay back a guy he owes money to, what's he going to bring out? He's not going to bring out his best stuff. He'll bring out his worst. If it's up to him, he'll give over his worst stuff. So he brings out the pachol shebekelim. So really, a balchov is supposed to collect from his ziburis, because the pasuk implies that it's up to the one who owes the money to figure out what he's going to give the balchov, and he always gives out the worst of his stuff. Ula says, why then do we assume that a balchov collects from the Beinus? Only because We don't want to lock the door. We don't want to make it difficult for people to lend money. We don't want to make it difficult for people to borrow money. So we make it that the lenders are going to have a reasonable deal, so that to encourage people to lend money. So Maris leitakanta dula, Maris leitakanta dula. So the machlokas is whether we hold of the takana of ula. Do we assume that the balchov should collect from the zburus? Do we assume that the balchov should collect from the beinus? If you assume he should collect from the beinus, that's why when you have a beinus or zburus, he collects from the beinus. If you assume you should collect from the ziburus because you don't have such a takana of shalotin al delos pifnei loven. So that's the brice that says when you have only a bainus for ziburus, the balchov collects from the ziburus. Meaning the whole Gemara was assuming like ula up until this point. But who knows? Maybe there's someone that doesn't hold of ula's takana. And that's why we have a variance between the two brices, whether or not the balchov collects from the bainus or the ziburus. But it's not necessarily a raya one way or the other in terms of bishal olam hein shamin or bishal mazik hein shamin. There are ways to explain it. There are ways to explain it either way. Now, Tosus points out, wait a second, the Ula's drasha is based on the fact that the Balchov midaraisa collects from the ziburus is based on the fact that when you come to collect your money, the guy is going to, you're not allowed to go into the guy's house, and the guy is most likely going to bring out his worst stuff to you. That implies that it's up to him to bring out what he wants to bring out. Fractosos, isn't it the shliach Bezdin that goes in there? I mean, you're not allowed to go in. You bring a shliach from Bezdin, the shliach Bezdin knocks on the door, he goes into the house and brings something out. Why do we assume that the shliach Bezdin is going to bring out the pachosh of kelim, the lowest of anything? So Tosos says, afakav the shliach Bezdin yemotzi lo yemotzi el mashalov enosin lo. Shliach Bezdin would not force his ideas on anybody else. Shliach Bezdin would stand there and let the lova decide exactly what he's going to give you. So it is completely up to the discretion of the lova, even though the shliach Bezdin is there to encourage him to make sure that he actually gives something. It's what he gives is totally up to the discretion of the lover. Then Tos asks a stronger kasha. We're trying to prove that the balchov collects from ziburis from the fact that when the lover brings something out of his house, he brings you his pachos shebekelim. Didn't we just say in yesterday's daf that whenever you're dealing with metalpolis, whenever you're dealing with a kli, whenever you're dealing with something that can move from one place to another, by definition that's called metav? By definition, that's idis, right? We had a stira between two pesukim. One pasuk says you pay from the meitav sedeim. The other pasuk says that you pay afilu mesubin, that you pay from even the lowest quality things. So don't you see that there's a stira? So the Gemara explained the maskana that the difference is you pay from the meitav when you're paying with fields. When you're paying with metalton, everything is made of when you pay with metalton. So even pachos shebekelim is ziburus. Pachos shebekelim is not ziburus. Pachos shebekelim is actually idis. So shouldn't we say balchov collects from idis? So it says Tosfos, "Alzi pachos shebekelim mem tamar afilu pachos shebekelim metavu." Even the pachos shebekelim is considered a metav. Kedamalel kol mili metavu. Like we said before, that everything is metav. Anything that's metalton is metav. V'yeshlomar kshemotzi kelim darka lohotzi akrua kshemotzi karkadami darka lohotzi ziburus. The point is that he doesn't have to pay back with Kalim. He could pay back with Karka as well. And just like it's up to the lover's discretion to choose the worst of his Kalim, which ain't a chinam, he might be Yiddis, if he wants to pay back with Karka, it's up to his discretion to pay the worst of the Karka also, to give you his lowest Karka. Meaning the point is, the Malve doesn't have the choice of what to take, it's up to the lover of what to give. That's what we're learning from the Pasuk. Whether he's paying back with metalin, money, or kalim, or karka, that's totally up to the lova. So he can give back the ziburis of karka. That's how we darshan. V'nira da'alach de b'shalowin shaman. La'alach l'maisa. What are we passing? B'shalowin shaman or b'shalolam? He says it seems that da'alach is b'shalowin shaman. Da'achis of the renachim k'subis, because that's what the Gemara in k'subis says. Okay. Good. Weiter in the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Marchla echad ol shlosh b'nei adam ke'echad. If you sell your fields to one guy or to three people all at one time, kula nichnas utachas habaylim. So all of them go, all of them take the place of the original owner. So you have a guy who owes money to different people. He has an idus beinus v'ziburus. He sells his fields, all of them, either to one guy or to three different people. So the guy who bought his idus is going to have to pay back the nizik of the seller. The guy who bought the Beinus is going to have to pay back the Balchov. The guy who bought the Ziburus is going to have to pay back the Ksubasisha. So Bazaar Khazak Kulin Government Achman. But if he sells the field not all at the same time, rather one after the other, then everyone goes to collect from the last guy. Because Allah is you're not allowed to be gover from Nechasim Ushubadim B'makom Dika B'nei Chorin when there's still Nechasim B'nei Chorin. If Reuven owes Shimon money, so even if Reuven sells some of those fields that there's a Shibud on to Levi, as long as Reuven still got something, Shimon goes to Reuven. He's not allowed to go to Levi. So since Reuven sold his fields one by one, whenever his last field, whatever his last field was, there was a point that he owned only that field, in which case Shimon's got to go to that field, whatever it is, whether it's Idis, Benis, Diburus, doesn't make a difference. Einlo gova mishal fadim. Now, obviously, if there's not enough in that field to pay back to satisfy all of his obligations, so you go back to the field that he sold before that. Einlo, if he doesn't have that, if there's not enough in that field, gova mishal fadim, you go back to the field before that. Machron la'echorei chidami. So what's the case? You sell it to one guy. If you sell it to one guy, all three fields to one guy at one time, so do you really need to tell me that each one goes tachas abaylim? Hashal shlosha dikol meimachad minay kadim amakul nechzu tachas abaylim machon lechem nibay. When you sell it to three guys all in one day, and we just can't, the zman of the shtar is the same for all three guys, so we said each one enters in the place of the Bailim, and the guy who bought the Idis would pay back the Nizik, the guy who bought the Benis would pay back the Bailim, etc. So if that's the case when you sell it to three guys, where obviously you didn't sell it to all three literally at the same time, one of them must have come before the other, so kal v'chomer when you sell it to one guy where it's shaykh that you actually did sell it to him all at one time, so of course it's going to be that he's nichnas tachas abaylim. So must be the case we were talking about that you sell it to one guy is you sell all three fields to one guy, but not at one time. You sell it one after the other. Why, when you sell it to three people, one after the other, can each of the first two buyers say, "Don't come to me, I left you a field to collect from. I didn't buy his last field. Go collect from his last field." That we said you're allowed to do. So when one guy buys three fields, can he do the same thing? Can he say, "Don't come to the first field I bought. Don't come to the second field I bought, because I still, at the time I bought those fields, I still left the third field with the guy. You have to collect from that field. Granted, I later bought that one, so collect from it, right? You're allowed to collect from it, and you're allowed to take something from me, but you're not allowed to take from my first two fields as long as that third field is still standing. You got to take from that third field. Why shouldn't he be able to say the same thing? Why do we assume that automatically the Nizik collects from the Yiddis, the Malchav from the Beninus, and the Ksubasish from the Ziburis, they should all be stuck collecting from the last field? So it says, Gemara, Hakam HaYaskim, Gon Shalakach Yiddis Bachrona. Case is, he bought the Yiddis last. So he doesn't want them all collecting from the last field, because then they're all going to take away his best stuff. V'cheinam Rav Shesh, Gon Shalakach Yiddis Bachrona. And that's how Rav Shesh explains as well. So Frakti Gemara, yeah, okay, maybe he doesn't want them to, but isn't that the din? That if the Idis was left over last, that's what they all are entitled to collect from, because that's all that was left with the person that owed them the money. So why can't they all go and collect from the Idis? Granted, right now it's the same guy that owns the Idis, Beinus, and Ziburus, but since he bought the Idis last from Reuven, shouldn't they all be entitled to collect from the Idis? So says Gemara, yeah, technically, but Mishum Damlu Ishtakisu Shaklisu Kidinaichu Shaklisu Vilo. He can always threaten them. He can always say, "Look, you want Mr. Balchov, you want to take your Beninus? Take your Beninus. Mr. Ms. Subasisha, you want to take your Ziburus? Take your Ziburus. If you don't want to take what I'm telling you to take, then I'm going to just give the Ziburus back to the original owner, and then you're not going to be able to come to my Beninus or my Yiddis. You're going to have to collect from the Ziburus. You're going to have no choice but to collect from the Ziburus, because as long as Reuven still has a field, you're not even allowed to come to me. You're not allowed to go to the Chasim Shabbat and B'makom Sheish B'nei Chorin." So he's able to threaten them in that way. Now, he doesn't really have a threat against the Ksubasisha, because the Ksubasisha says, "Okay, do it. What do I care? I'm collecting the Ziburus anyway." But against the Balchov, he's got a threat, right? Against the Balchov, he can say, "Collect like your din, the Beninus, and if you don't, then I'm going to see to it that you're going to end up getting Ziburus by just returning the Ziburus land back." So, frankly, Mari Ihachi, Why can't he tell the Nizik the same thing? Why do we assume that the Nizik still collects from the Yiddis? Why can't he tell the Nizik, you better collect from the the Beninus, because if you don't collect from the Beninus, I'm going to give back the Ziburis, and you're going to end up collecting from the Ziburis. Can he have the same threat to the Nizik? Why do we assume the Nizik automatically collects from the Yiddis? Elahacha b'mayaskinan b'yasmi. Now the case that we're dealing with over here is Yisomin. Reuven's not alive anymore. The guy who owed the money is not alive anymore. He has Yisomim. It's Elav Bnei Pironin who, that they don't have to pay back. V'shibud delay alei didei Ramya Hilkach lekalamei marhachi. And the shibud now goes on the person who owns the fields, and therefore he can't say anything. So again, we're back to Arkasha. If that's the case, then why is it that each one that if he bought the Idis last, in fact, why is it that he's able to have each one collect from the one that they're that's appropriate for them? Why don't they all collect from the Idis? El Mishum Damlu Taim Mayam Rabban Nein in front of Mechasim Mishpatim Makom Sheish Bnei Chorin Mishum Takanta Didi. No, so rather the svar is as follows. He says, why is it that you're supposed to all collect from the Idis? Because the Rabban made a takana for a purchaser to benefit me that you're not allowed to collect from Nechasim Mishpatim when there are still Bnei Chorin. The Idis was the last Bnei Chorin property left, so the Rabbanan made a takana for my benefit that you should collect from the last Bnei Chorin property left. Over here, it's not beneficial to me, because now I ended up buying that last property also, and I'm going to have to pay you back from that last property, which is the most superior quality. So it's not to my benefit. No thanks to the takana de Rabbanan. I'm not interested. If the takana was made for my benefit, I'm allowed to pass up on it. I'm allowed to say, no thank you, rabbis. I'd rather keep it the way it was without any special takana. So he can pass up on the takana that you're not allowed to collect from the Chasim Shabbatim Makam Shish Bnei Chorin. I'll say, fine, collect from the Shabbatim. Kidrab, Dam Rav, Kalomar, Yefshib, Konskam, Gonzu, Shomalov. Rav says, whenever someone wants to pass up on the takana Shabbatim that was meant for his benefit, so he's allowed to do so. My Kigonzu, what does Kigonzu mean? What was the example of that? Kidrafuna, Dam Ravun, Yichali, Shomal, the Baila, Ain't his own as Vienios. The Rabbanu made a takana to benefit a woman that in exchange for her giving her maisi adai and whatever work she does to her husband gives her mazonos. Why is that to her benefit? Because not every woman could support herself. So the husband supports the woman, and it's to her benefit, and whatever little money she makes, which isn't enough to support herself usually, will go to the husband. Certainly benefits a woman. She doesn't have to worry about putting food on the table. All she's got to do is whatever little money she makes goes to the husband. But what if she's a high-powered, high-powered professional? She makes $1 million a year, and it only costs $30,000 a year to feed her, to put food on her table. So then she has the right to say, no thank you, you keep your $30,000 of food, of room and board, and I'll keep my $1 million salary, right? So then she's able to say, in zonas v'eniosa. Good, pshita, the following is pashut. Mach lokeach beinus v'ziburus v'shir idus lefanav. What if, okay, Reuven owed money, and Reuven owned money to Shimon. Reuven then sold the fields to Levi. Now Levi had all the fields. Then Levi sold. He himself sold to somebody else, to Yehuda. He sold the Beinus and Ziburis, but Levi still kept the Yiddis. So Lesu Kulav Ligvum Yiddis. Everyone's going to collect from the Yiddis to Achronihi, because that was the last one. Ubeinus and Ziburis Lesnu Gabe Demasi Lememelu Gavim Beinus and Ziburis. He doesn't have the Beinus and Ziburis where he can tell them, go collect from the Beinus and Ziburis Lo Nichli B'Takan Terabanan, because I'm not interested in Takan Terabanan. It's too bad. He bought the Yiddis last. He sold the other two, so he can't say Lo Nichli B'Takan the Rabbanon, because he doesn't have the other two fields. What if he sold the Yiddis though? So the Yiddis was the last one he bought and the first one he sold. Right? So now what's the din? Do they collect from the Yiddis because it was the last one he bought? It was the last one that was Bnei Chorin, that was not Nechasim Shabbatim? Or can they not collect from the Yiddis because it's two steps removed from the guy who owes them the money? So Savra Abaye Lememra also Kulu Gov Yiddis. Abaye thought to say, everyone can collect from the Yiddis in that case. Amalei Rava, Ma Macha Rishon L'Sheni, Kol Zuchos Shetov L'Yado. What did the first guy sell to the second guy? He sold any rights that he has in that field. V'kimin D'Yiddu Asu L'Gabi L'Kach Rishon Matzi Agvilem Benes Zibur. Purus. And since had they come to the first Lokeach and wanted to collect, the first Lokeach could have said, no, you can't take from the Yiddis, you got to take from the Beinus Ziburus. Even though when he bought the Beinus Ziburus, the Yiddis was still Bnei Chorin, he can still force them to collect from the Beinus Ziburus. Because he could say, I'm not interested in Takana Drabanan. So he sold that right to the other guy also. Because when he bought the field, he bought all of the rights. Whatever the first guy was able to say, he's allowed to say as well. Okay, we're going to have to stop here. Pick up from Amar Rava tomorrow.